these global elite.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, let's say that they come up with a plan that does effectively save their lives through the cataclysm.
Uh-huh.
Let's say that some two-thirds of the Earth's population is wiped out. When these people get out of their cubbyholes, these elite, when they get out of whatever devices they have that they have built to keep them safe, they're coming into a world where the population still outnumbers them and are probably going to be excessively pissed off. So how do they think they're going to gain?
They've already taken care of that, man. You know, these folks have had, if you think the elites have been preparing for the last decade or two, try the last few hundred years. This is all ancient knowledge. I mean, you know, in the Colburn Bible we publish, this knowledge has been known, and it's the more you dig, the more you find. They're getting in place. First thing you have to understand is everything always comes down to meat, bread, and potatoes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And agriculture, it's going to be absolutely imperative to restart agriculture once the dust settles down. Now, you take, for example, Yellowstone. It pops. That's it. The Midwest is the breadbasket of the world, is toast. The big quake hits and part of California goes into the sea. Again, you know, half of the fruits and vegetables in the country are grown in the Central Valley. It becomes another inland sea. Now, if you want to buy heritage seeds out of Canada, I got news for you. You can't. You can buy Canadian drugs, prescription drugs, you can't buy heritage seeds anymore. Our government has blocked that ability for those companies to do that. And what you have to understand is that all of this is power structure. And the key player in this is the actual Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court, first off, said corporations are human beings. They live a lot longer, and they get a lot richer, but they're just like human beings. Then it said corporations can take your property if they just want to outbid what you're paying on taxes. But the one thing that they did, most important thing that your listeners have to understand out there, was that a former attorney for Monsanto, and these are the biggest guys, the biggest players right now, them and Cargill and the others, in genetically modified seeds. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're the big GM players. Well, a Monsanto lawyer, who is now a Supreme Court justice, in a 5-4 decision, they gave corporations the right to patent life. Now, what did they do? They immediately went into the USDA seed banks that have seeds that go back to when the country first took its first breath. And this has always been a legacy of love handed down from farmers from the past to us. And they just snatched up samples of these seeds, found something unique, and patented all these seeds. Now, if you go to Svalbard, the seed vault in Svalbard, are there any genetically modified seeds? Hell no. They've got all the original stuff. Okay? It's like stem cell research. Okay? They got the embryo cells up there. After this disaster, who is going to be sitting on the seeds? The elites. And that is going to be their base of power. It's real simple. You want seeds, you play ball. You want to starve, we don't care. So they've already got that worked out. They're already ahead of the game that way. And gosh knows however many other ways that they're doing it. Look at they're going around the world right now and they're buying up freshwater resources. Yeah, there's a few countries where the people get up and say, heck no, get out of here. We don't want privatization of our water supplies because you raise our rates to, well, you know, we can't even afford to drink water anymore. And so what they want to do, they want to get the freshwater resources. They own it. They control it. They can put their gun boys on it. They've got the seeds in Svalbard. The Supreme Court gave them the right to genetically modify life. I think it's a setup. It is a sweet setup that they have actually organized this thing, and they'll be sitting in the catbird seat. At least that's the way they see it. As far as I'm concerned, this is an event where, just like in war, all the best laid plans simply come to a screeching halt once the boots hit the ground and the first shots are fired. And the second thing I'm going to tell you is confrontation is not what you do. If you're going to survive this thing, confrontation is not what you do.